Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This past month, a milestone was passed that went largely unnoticed. China exported more goods in its local currency, the renminbi, than U.S. dollars for the first time in modern history. This means that more and more countries are willing to do business with China in renminbi. When you consider what it means to be financially responsible, a few things come to mind. Number one, you pay your bills. Number two, you follow a set of well-established rules. And number three, you earn more than you spend. Countries that don't follow those principles do get punished internationally. You see their currencies fall in value. Countries that can't be trusted don't have the privilege of borrowing in their own local currency. They must borrow against a financial standard that's going to be predictable. But when you're the world's reserve currency, you can get away with breaking a bunch of rules without much consequence. The international community will give you a pass. This is an enormous privilege. America's status as the world reserve currency has afforded many benefits. It means that when the U.S. has had a trade deficit, those foreign governments would usually buy U.S. treasuries with their excess U.S. cash. That's enabled the U.S. to export its inflation over the last several decades without much consequence. As the world's manufacturing globalized, the U.S. benefited from lower product costs, generating excess debt all the while borrowing the extra debt from the very folks who manufactured the cheap goods from around the world. In the game of global trade, the U.S. got the lower cost cars and TVs, and the manufacturers got to keep the monopoly money, so the U.S. won. It was a pretty good gig. But instead of protecting the unique status as the world reserve currency, the U.S. decided to squander it. They chose to weaponize it. There's now a movement of countries around the world who are actively looking to cut dependence on the U.S. dollar. Some people think this movement is the result of sanctions against Russia. The U.S. has in fact been squandering its unique position for more than two decades. The behavior goes back much farther than just the war in the Ukraine. It started with the Patriot Act of 2001. Under the guise of the war on terrorism, the U.S. demanded information about international transactions from banks outside its jurisdiction. Then there was the Foreign Tax Compliance Act in 2010, FATCA, which required foreign financial institutions to report to the IRS information about financial accounts held by U.S. taxpayers or by foreign entities in which U.S. taxpayers hold a substantial ownership interest. If these other nations and financial institutions did not comply, they would be cut off from access to the U.S. financial system. In 2014, French bank BNP Paribas admitted that from 2004 to 2012, it knowingly and willfully moved over $8.8 billion through the U.S. financial system on behalf of Sudanese, Iranian, and Cuban sanctioned entities in violation of U.S. economic sanctions. Then fast forward to 2022, and the U.S. dollar jumped in value compared with other currencies. That made imports of commodities more expensive. There was in fact a shortage of dollars, of euro dollars, for the purpose of commodities trade, and that scarcity of dollars made it difficult for many nations to buy commodities and forced many countries to trade currency at a premium just to purchase commodities. Even if you embrace the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency, you would have still experienced financial hardship as a result of the rise of the value of the U.S. dollar. That U.S. dollar shortage created a massive upheaval in Southeast Asia. Think about Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, even Japan. At a certain point, these countries start to ask the question, why are they beholden to the U.S. dollar if they can't even get their hands on it? The number of countries that have stopped buying U.S. treasuries is growing. China has stopped. Saudi Arabia has stopped. Russia has dumped its U.S. bond holdings. During the pandemic, we didn't really notice this because the Federal Reserve was buying the debt of the U.S. government and putting it on the Fed's balance sheet. More recently, U.S. domestic banks started buying U.S. sovereign debt in search of yield, which has stepped up the demand for this paper at the same time that foreign governments have stopped buying. But there's a groundswell of objection to the U.S. dollar. No surprise that Russia is leading that charge, but China is clearly looking to replace the U.S. dollar. Brazil's new prime minister is openly proposing a replacement. Malaysia is looking for an alternative. Saudi Arabia is already trading in Chinese renminbi. India, Iran, Venezuela are all on the anti-U.S. dollar train. France has even recently come out and said that the world needs to become independent of U.S. control. That sounds like a strange statement coming from a U.S. ally and core member of the European Union. But remember that in 2014, a Manhattan court formally ordered a French bank to forfeit $8.83 billion and pay a $140 million fine as part of the sentence that called for BNP Paribas to enhance its compliance procedures and policies. Now, let's be clear. BNP Paribas pleaded guilty. The settlement with the court was the result of a plea bargain. But you have a core French institution answering to a U.S. court. That's distasteful to many French citizens, and it's seen a violation of French sovereignty. The argument in favor of the U.S. dollar is that there's so much international debt denominated in U.S. dollars, even if the U.S. is not the lender. So let's go back to China. Ever since China stopped buying U.S. treasuries, they've needed an alternate place to invest their surplus cash. China has become the lender to the developing world. They've been funding public infrastructure projects all over Africa, Asia, South America. These are seaports, highways, bridges, and even real estate. Are they a predatory lender? Well, it's too early to say. I've even recently heard about a project in northern Florida where the proposed lender was not a local community bank, but a bank from Shanghai. That was surprising to me anyway. For now, the dollar is still the world reserve currency. The U.S. enjoys enormous privileges from this status. The debt ceiling debates that have played out in the public now more than 42 times do not seem to shake investors' confidence in the U.S. But if the U.S. loses the reserve currency status, then maybe they'll be treated more like Turkey or Costa Rica when it comes to financial matters. They won't be trusted whenever they print more than they can afford. I personally hope the U.S. does not squander its reserve status. If it does, the U.S. will lose its ability to export its inflation. And those extra dollars circulating in the U.S. economy will become vastly inflationary. We're witnessing the U.S. negotiating the raising of its debt ceiling. Now, I believe it's going to get negotiated just like it has 42 times before. I just wonder if those politicians saying that it would be irresponsible not to increase the debt ceiling really know what they're saying. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.